Greetings, Couch Potatoes, across the country, around the world, and on the internet. I'm Kevin Carr.
And I'm Andrew Robinson, and you're listening to Fat Guys at the Movies.
Woohoo! Thank you. Yes, we got Andrew back. GmanReviews.com is where you can find him. You've been on the show a couple times before, but it's always special to have you, Andrew, because you make our show an international event.
Yep.
And you are making it even more international because you are no longer in Jamaica. You're in Trinidad and Tobago, right?
Yes,
is it Trinidad and Tobago? Is that the official name of
the nation country? Is Trinidad and Tobago, but I am in the Trinidad of the Trinidad and Tobago.
This is sort of like the Twin Cities. It's just they said, well, we're just going to share it all.
Yeah, kind of.
Okay. I mean, you know, or did they just, they couldn't make up their mind? They said, let's not have a civil war, and we're just going to call it.
Maybe they thought Tobago was so small, let's just throw them in, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I wonder where they got to that point where finally when Tobago's like, can we be first? Nope. Okay.
I'm sure there's some history thing in there, but I don't do much reading, apparently, so I don't know.
You don't worry about that sort of nonsense. Yeah. But welcome back to the show. Before we move on, let's talk a little bit about, let's get through the paperwork. FatGuysOfTheMovies.com, you can catch us there. You can get us on iTunes, search Fat Guys of the Movies, or Fat Guys Networks, or Fat Guys, and we will show up in some form. And you can subscribe to us and subscribe to all our other podcasts all together or individually. You can go to Facebook.com/FGATM if you're still on Facebook after their just absolute diaper change that they did on their on their interface, which is a mess.
It is.
More on that. Listen to the Idiot Boxers. I'll complain about it then. do you like the new Facebook look, Andrew?
Not particularly. I was looking at it just like around an hour ago, and immediately made me Google search for the original design they had put up when they went public for the first time.
Yeah.
And it's amazing how much... The whole point of the site was they wanted it to be clean and neat and tidy. And if you look at it today, you know, it's just sad. It's just cluttered.
Oh, my gosh. It looks like Bill Gates puked on the site. That's what happened. What bothers me about it, I'm okay with design changes and moving things around and layout as long as you can choose what you want to watch or what you get on your feed. And what bothers me about Facebook and what they've done, this is where I think they've crossed the line, is they're basically suppressing half of your feed because it's saying, oh no, the stuff that gets commented on, that gets prioritized. I'm like, I don't care that this girl I knew in high school who I follow gets 20 comments on everything she posts. I don't want to read hers any more than I want to read my friend who's got 20 friends who's just saying, hey, I'm going to do what this week, you know? And that's what it bothers me is because you can't set it to read in chronological order unless you put everybody on a list and do it.
No, you can. You can just tell it to show all as opposed to show popular.
No, but it doesn't do it in order. It still puts it out of order. At least it did when I haven't been on. I refuse to sign on at this point because it's such a pain to go through.
Facebook, so. The only thing Facebook hasn't done so far yet is the one thing that when they do it is when I'm deactivating my account. It's when they do the MySpace and they allow people to change their background pages and put crazy neon colors to blind me whenever I go to their page. Like that's the line.
Yeah, that's going to look gross. And I don't know what's going to happen. Well, like I said, I'll talk more about it on the Idiot Boxers. So listen this next week because I'll rage about that then. This is we're going to talk about movies. So let's finish this up. FatGuys@FilmSchoolRejects.com. You can give us an email. You can voicemail 740-205-6456. Andrew, if you had wanted to call in, you can always dial a 1 before that, I guess.
Yep.
Isn't it plus 1 country code?
Yeah.
You can go to Get Glue and just... check into Fat Guys of the Movies and be one of the 5 people who do that. So let's talk, of course, Andrew, you know, again, I'll just give you a chance to tell again, because you haven't been on since February.
Wow.
Tell us about where we can find you. GmanReviews.com, right?
It's been so long. Yeah, GmanReviews.com. That's where I do all my postings, my writings. I have my podcast, the Unnamed Movie Podcast, otherwise called Tump. You can find us on iTunes. Just search for Tump, GmanReviews, or the Unnamed Movie Podcast. You'll find it. It's
sort of the unrecorded movie podcast right now because you haven't done one in a while, have you?
Last one we recorded was when I left Jamaica, and I have one to post out, which is a special episode where we talk about our top 10 films of all time. Wow. So that'll probably be out in another week or so. But we're trying to arrange to continue, and we'll, as soon as we can, content will continue flowing.
Yay. We love the flow. Let's quickly blast into these movie reviews real quick. These are the first two. There's four new movies out this week. The first two, they did not screen for me, and you didn't. They're not going to screen it in Columbus, Ohio. They're not going to screen it in Trinidad and Tobago.
There are no screenings. They just release the movies and I have to pay money.
Well, you can just go buy them on the street. Aren't they, like, can't you get a DVD of it like 3 months before it comes out?
Yep. I know exactly where to go and get those.
The first one is Abduction. Taylor Lautner goes on the run when he discovers his family have been hiding him from dangerous forces.
Nathan Price is a high-valued asset.
He escaped an attack last night. We've got 36 hours to find this kid before they do.
Suddenly, everyone around me is dying.
We've got to get out of here, Nathan.
Who are you?
I'm a friend of your father's. Your real father.
I want the video feeds from every security camera.
Track his friends.
What's my real name?
What's my real name?
Track anyone they've ever spoken to.
Who are these people?
They can't be trusted.
All right. Do you care about this movie? You love Taylor Lautner, don't
I
you?
I love Taylor Lautner. Oh, those abs. They're so special.
This is Abduction, if you notice.
No, but I just want to talk about one thing. I haven't seen this movie. I have no intention of watching this movie. It'll make the most...
Thank you for disclosing that. Thank you for... I refuse to watch this movie.
It'll make the most money this weekend because all the Twilight fans will go out and watch it. But...
I think you're right.
The trailer is quite stupendous because there are two things this trailer does and does miraculously horribly. In all sorts of action trailers you'll watch where they'll set up the story for the first minute and the next minute and a half is super cuts of people hitting or things blowing up or whatever.
Or parkour jumping all over the world.
Right. So during this trailer supercut segment, it pauses for a moment to show you, hey guys, Taylor Lautner gets to kiss the girl. And I found that funny when I was watching the trailer. Also, there's this one bit where he slides down some glass angle thing, and it makes it look as if there is a sniper shooting at him while this is going on. I believe that when you watch a movie, you're going to find out those are two different scenes, but I'm going to pretend
could
like
be two different movies for all you know.
I'm going to pretend like it's the same scene, and that sniper is the worst sniper in the world because Taylor Lautner is sliding down in a single
giant sheet of glass. Not only can he not hit the target, he can't hit the glass around him.
Don't you find it funny in movies how bad guys have horrible aim?
Oh, the stormtroopers. It's all over the place. I was just watching Krull this weekend for the live tweet, and they're bad guys with laser blasting spears fighting people with swords, and they can't hit them.
Hey, was just rewatching Steven Soderbergh's Out of Sight. And
actually, you know what? I got to interrupt you there. We're going to leave you out on the trailer of Killer Elite. Jason Statham, Robert De Niro, Clive Owen, and Clive Owen's mustache face off as hitmen.
It killed Craig and Harris. We have to do something.
Close it down.
You have no idea who you're messing with.
Did you hear this number?
He's like a father to you, right?
You don't do this as a dead man.
Listen, Danny's gonna come back for me. When he does, you're out of here. He's your worst nightmare.
This ends today.
War isn't over till both sides say it is.
And welcome back to Fat Guys in the Movies. Andrew, you had something you wanted to say. I had to get out of there and play the trailer so that all timed out right. But you had a little bit more to say about Taylor Lautner in Abduction.
I don't even remember where we were there. All I was mocking the fact that apparently bad guys really suck at aim.
They're terrible at aim. That's the whole... Well, because otherwise the movie would be 5 minutes long. I mean, could you imagine Star Wars? How long Star Wars would be if stormtroopers actually could hit their target? It'd be like that first scene. Bam! Okay, they're dead. You know,
even though there is one thing to be said good about the trailer for this movie, and it's to be said good about any movie that has this factor in it. It has Alfred Molina, and for some reason he makes movies better.
Well, you know what? It's also directed by John Singleton, too, which is, I think, an interesting thing, because I would have never, you would never say from the director of Boys in the Hood, Abduction with Taylor Lautner. It just doesn't seem like a John Singleton movie. But John Singleton, he's sort of done different things here and there and action-y kind of stuff. So I'm curious to see it, because I think Singleton's a good director. I'm just curious to see how this, if he's any good with this.
thanks for ruining my skepticism.
Now, what about Killer Elite? Are you interested in seeing this?
Oh, that movie looks so awesome. It looks like John Woo was put on hold and they made a real action movie, even though I'm worried about them pretending to put in a Robert De Niro action scene, because I doubt he can pull it off, right?
He's really old. He's really old. I mean, you know, Travis Bickle will live forever, and he was great as Jake LaMotta in Raging Bull, but now he's just old.
I always cry whenever people ask me about my favorite De Niro film and I mention Raging Bull, people look at me with blank faces going, like, why are you talking about some movie from the 80s that was in black and white?
Those are in black and white for a reason.
I mean, know.
Scorsese made that choice.
I know.
It wasn't that he was like, I didn't have enough money. Or it was 1980 when that thing came out.
I always find it interesting whenever filmmakers purposely put their movies in black and white now. It's always something. I always wonder, like, if there's some class in film school where they tell them that it means something specific.
Yeah, well, you know, they do that sometimes, but a lot of times they make them shoot in color.
Yeah.
Because in a lot of other countries, they won't release black and white films.
Yeah. For some reason, I always think of The Mist, which is shot in color, and the director wanted, Frank Darabont, he wanted so much for it to be in black and white, and he re-released it on Blu-ray with both versions.
Yeah.
And his reasoning for it was because he loved all of those monsters movies from the 50s, which were all in black and white, and that black and white gave it some form of suspension of disbelief when you got to see those monster movies, that you're like, ah, oh, those monsters are real because it's in black and white. And I guess it really works, because I actually have that on Blu-ray and watched it in black and white, and somehow the movie's better.
Well, it's like Young Frankenstein, but Mel Brooks actually was able to shoot that on black and white film stock. So it's not like they just stripped the color out. It was in black and white.
Anyways.
But Killer Elite and Abduction are both in color, neither of which we've seen, and both have to get a preemptive suck. I know Clive Owen's mustache is going to be upset about that. But anyways, let's talk a little bit about the next couple movies. We got Dolphin Tale, in which a group of scientists and animal lovers try to save a dolphin who has lost his tail. Or actually, her tail.
We can't make her want to live. She's going to have to do that part on her own.
It was too infected. My dad said it had to come off.
How is she going to live if she can't swim?
There's got to be a solution.
Excuse me.
Hi.
Can I ask you a weird question?
You are going to school tomorrow, and that is it. Period.
But winter needs me.
Trying to put a tail on a fish. Nobody in his right mind would even try.
Luckily, I'm not.
Not what?
In my right mind.
Question. I haven't seen this movie yet. And once again, I'm going to go right ahead and say I have no intention of watching this movie. However, I read somewhere that apparently it's like the true story. They use the same dolphin throughout the movie, the one who was actually affected and had this fake tail or prosthetic tail going for it.
Yeah. So, see, that's one thing I do wonder, because I was wondering, because when you see the dolphin swimming around, it doesn't have a tail. And I'm like, that's a lot of effects work to just get a real dolphin and digitally remove the tail. So I was wondering if they were using the actual dolphin, or if they just cut off another dolphin's tail, which would have been horrifying. But
they brought it in from Japan.
That's right. They're like, well, he was in the cove. We got him. We got 95% of him out. But.
No, but I read somewhere that apparently it's the same dolphin. It's the real dolphin that the thing happened to.
Wow. That makes sense. Here's the thing. This movie, if it came out as like a direct DVD or was on the ABC Family Network, it would be okay. as a major release, it is so cheesy and overdone. It's like drinking. It's like if you've ever gone and gotten a fountain drink and like the water isn't working right and you just get syrup, mm-hmm. and you take a swig of it and you're like, it's just so sweet. It's very contrived, and it's one of these things. What they do is they add these storylines, these extra storylines, because his cousin is the little kid who's sort of like a Josh Hutcherson light. His cousin is injured and has to deal with the fact that he might be losing the use of an arm or leg, and you've got this side story about his father who had disappeared and wasn't coming back. So they kind of just throw a lot of things on there, and I'm just like, you know, this, because the movie's almost 2 hours, and it shouldn't be. It should be like 85 minutes, and it just goes on and on. And it was funny, even my son makes who loved it. He's eight. He loved the movie because that's the age it's made for.
Yeah.
But even him, he was like, yeah, it was really long. And so the human element. I mean, the dolphin thing's kind of interesting. But it just gets so cheesy.
Does Morgan Freeman narrate?
No, he shows up. But that's the other thing. They didn't play the Morgan Freeman card until way too late in the film. Because he's such a fantastic actor that he rises above anything he's in. Even in a crappy movie, Morgan Freeman sells it and owns the movie when he shows up. And when he does show up in his scenes, you're like, I'm totally with Morgan Freeman on this. But Ashley Judd and Harry Connick Jr., you ain't quite pulling your weight. You are not doing the Morgan Freeman thing. You guys will not be playing the president in a movie, and you will not be narrating any French documentaries in the future.
Look, let's not talk about presidents. Morgan Freeman was God in a movie, okay?
That's right, he was God. So you don't get any better than that. Can you get any better than God? I don't think so.
We could go to other religions, but I'm sure someone would be offended.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty much, I think you can say once you've played God, there is no greater role. Don't you think? I don't know. Am I offending anybody yet? Who knows?
I guess we could throw the devil in there just to be like odds and evens, you know?
Oh, yeah. Just stir the pot there. Why don't you, Andrew? But anyways, Dolphin Tale. I mean, I don't think it's going to do very well because A, it's in 3D, so it's going to be expensive. And it's an unnecessary 3D. I'm like, there's some shots that are neat, but it's an unnecessary. It's not like Thor, which... You can be like, oh, it's a big event movie. It's just kind of unnecessarily in 3D. So it's okay if you're a kid. I mean, but there's going to be just tons of little kids in this movie, and that just makes it even more annoying. So I'm going to say it kind of sucks.
Okay, then.
Next movie is Moneyball, in which Brad Pitt stars in the true story of how a manager of the Oakland A's used statistical analysis to put together a highly competitive baseball team.
There are rich teams, and there are poor teams. Then there's 50 feet of crap, and then there's us. I need more money.
We're not New York. Find players with the money that we do have.
Your goal shouldn't be to buy players. Your goal should be to buy wins. And in order to buy wins, you need to buy runs.
We're gonna shake things up. Why don't you walk me through the board?
I believe there's a championship team that we could afford because everyone else undervalues them, like an island of misfit toys.
You're really interested in seeing this, aren't you?
Oh, hells yeah. I'm a big fan of Aaron Sorkin. I literally have no attachment to baseball. I don't watch baseball.
Do you watch cricket?
I do watch cricket, and I enjoy cricket.
Oh, you're such a cliche!
But I don't really watch baseball that often. However, I, for some reason... I'm a huge fan of baseball movies. I think it has to do with the fact that because of the stop and start nature of baseball, it allows for a lot of character exposition, which turns out to be really fun. And one of my favorites is Bull Durham. And I don't really know.
It's a baseball backdrop movie.
Yeah,
Bull Durham's not about baseball. It's not like The Natural or Field of Dreams. Field of Dreams isn't really about.
You see, that's what I like about all quote unquote baseball movies. They're not ever really about baseball,
except like maybe Major League. Like Major League was about winning that pennant.
Another one of my favorites came out a couple of years ago called Sugar. I don't know if you saw it. Ryan Fleck and Anna Boden, the guys who did Half Nelson. And it's kind of a funny story, which was about a Dominican coming to America to be in a baseball league.
Actually, I'm going to have to hold you there. We're going to go to a break, and when we come back, we'll talk a little more about Moneyball.
Okay.
42 miles of hard road, 33 years of tough luck, 44 skulls buried in the ground, crawling down through the muck.
Yeah. And welcome back to Fat Guys at the Movies. We are in the infamous middle segment. Go ahead and swear a little bit, Andrew.
Fuck,
you didn't
me.
Have it all stored up, huh?
Fuck me.
Okay, there we go. That's the Andrew we all know. No, last time you were on the show, I said, okay, it's a middle segment, you can swear. And you let off this tirade. You, like, did, like, seven, like, swear words. Just like, blah, 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 blah.
You know, I'll make it international today. What a blood clot we're talking about.
What a what?
That's one of the many words that we will use in Jamaica, blood clot.
That's disgusting. I don't even know how that would...
It comes from the term blood cloth, which refers to back in the day before tampons were popular. I'll leave the story there.
This is awesome. Now, how exactly does that work? No, I'm just kidding.
Yes, I'll let your imagination fill in the rest of that story.
Instead of blowing your nose. Okay, blood. So you say blood clot now?
Yeah, clot. You know, kind of like a clot in your artery. Clot, yeah. But you say it really quick, and you know, deepness in the voice, and it comes off really aggressive.
Blood clot.
All right, please don't do that.
Was that right? Did I sound authentically Jamaican for you there?
I think we can continue.
Okay. Anyways, you were talking about how much you love baseball movies because they don't make any movies about cricket.
Actually, I'll recommend this movie to you just because I'm sure you don't know anything about it and it might be semi-interesting to you. There's this documentary which they made in the UK and it was about West Indian cricket. The rise and fall of West... Well, it really didn't have the fall. It just stopped. And after that is the fall, but they don't really tell you that.
It just rose, and they said, we'll just leave it at that.
The name of the movie is Fire in Babylon. And if you're a documentary person or you're interested in finding about a topic that you don't know much about, I'd recommend you check it out.
Okay.
But back to baseball movies. Okay. It's... I don't know why, but they always turn out to be really fun in my mind. And I don't really know much about the story of this manager. Billy Bean is his name. And I like the idea of someone taking a completely different approach to a sport, because whenever I'm watching football and I see a manager come out of nowhere and change things completely, it's... possibly the most interesting thing you can see in a season of a sport.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, here's the thing. First of all, I'm just going to go on record, and I said this before. If it were named Monkey Ball, I would have been way more interested in seeing it. Because the idea of monkeys playing baseball is just genius. And so then I found out it was called Money Ball, and it was all downhill from that. Because I had this picture of like, yes, Monkey Ball, what could that be about? It's not Monkey Ball,
it's Money Ball.
Money Ball. I don't give a crap about baseball.
You're not a baseball person?
I will pay attention when the Indians get close to the World Series. If the Indians get in the World Series, I would watch it. Or I'd at least be aware of it. Simply just because I'm from Ohio, so you know, I don't care about the Reds. I'm more a Cleveland guy. But in general, I don't care about baseball. And if you start talking statistics and players' names and all this stuff, to me, it's just like you hear this, nah, 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 nah. It just zones out. I don't care. There is a colossal element of not caring. Now, Aaron, you're right. Aaron Sorkin did write the screenplay, but it's not that super punchy, fast dialogue that you expect from Sorkin, except for one scene where they're doing trades. There's a scene in an office where he's doing like last minute trades and calling different GMs from other teams, and that's very typical Sorkin, because it's just boom boom, and you have no idea what's going on in the scene, but it's just handled really, really well. The problem I had with this movie, well, first of all, overall it's a good movie. It works and it plays well, and it's a button pusher and that sort of thing. It has a couple flaws. One of the flaws being it's too long. They spend too much time on Bean and his family, because his stupid daughter, I don't give a crap about. I'm just like, oh god, she's on the screen again. And you're going to see three things Brad Pitt will do that you don't want to see him do anymore in movies. One of them's eat. because I've seen the Ocean's movies. I know he can eat. He spits, and I know it's realistic that baseball players spit, but it's not realistic that Billy that Bean looked like Brad Pitt. So if you're going to go through that level of disbelief, can we just not have him spitting tobacco in a cup through the whole goddamn movie? And the third one, you're going to see him staring off into space thinking. And there's a lot of that. So it does draw itself out a little bit much. I mean, this whole business of best movie of the year, no, not at all. It's a middle of the road, it kind of rocks kind of movie.
So you're saying that for some reason a Sorkin screenplay doesn't play out like a song where it has its beats that continually move on and rhythmically keep you in the movie and entrance you into the point where you're just like, you know what, I love this movie.
See, I hated Social Network.
How about what was that movie with Tom Hanks and Julia Roberts? What was that movie?
Thomas Crown Affair?
Big Burn?
Not the time. I mean, the Charlie Wilson's War.
Charlie Wilson's War. What did you think of that movie?
I thought that was okay. I thought that one was okay. The difference being like in The Social Network, that first scene in The Social Network where Zuckerberg and his girlfriend are at the bar and they're talking. It's just going bam, 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 bam with the dialogue. People who love Social Network, which is most people,
Me,
really enjoy them. Yeah, you and a lot of other people. Are like, oh my god, that scene was great, and it just set the tone. Whereas I saw that scene, I just fell out of love with that scene the moment it started because I just didn't like it. I didn't like it. Just, it irritated me that type of dialogue. Now it didn't affect me. Like after Moneyball, when it rolled the credits and it's like screenplay by so and so and Andrew Sorkin, I was like, oh, I didn't realize Sorkin wrote this, and that shows that it wasn't that super pace. But it does breathe way too much. Both this and Dolphin Tale, these movies could have been 20 minutes shorter each. So that's what I have to say. But you'll probably love it. A lot of people are. It's like Warrior. I hated Warrior. I thought it was terrible.
I saw Warrior and I liked it, but at the same time, I see its main problem, which is the same problem that Super 8 had. While it's a really technically good, it's a technically good film, and if you're into it, you love the movie. However, if you watch too many movies like me and you, you'll see where the movie is going. From really early, and then at the same time, it just
becomes. If you see the trailer, you know they end up at the.
It just becomes you sitting there watching the clock, waiting for it to get there, and you just don't enjoy it. Which is the same thing that Super 8 did. If you're into either of those movies, regardless, you love it. But. Actually, I really liked Warrior, and it's mainly because Tom Hardy was fantastic in it.
I thought all the characters were all one-dimensional. I got people pissed off at me when I analyzed it. I posted my review on Film School Rejects. I also had a review on 7M Pictures, and I had people flaming me for it. So that's what gives me power, people.
Hurrah.
Flame me. Tell me how much you hate me.
Throw you into the fiery pits of the blogs.
Yes. So, I'm pretty sure you'll like Moneyball, and Moneyball's going to be around. It could win the weekend just because it actually, this is a good way to segue into the box office.
Look, I know you said
Taylor Lautner. I wouldn't be surprised if his movie wins.
Taylor Lautner is in a movie, right? He's on the poster,
right? Yeah, but
his name is at the top.
No, I get you. I could see Moneyball take it as well because at this time of year, the sort of the grown-up movies can usually trump. And Taylor Lautner, as much as I think Taylor Lautner has a following, I don't know if he's enough to get that many people to go to the movies.
I'm not saying Abduction is going to make $80 million this weekend. I'm saying that
it'll make more than Moneyball?
Yes. And really? And the only movie that has a better chance of beating Taylor Lautner is Lion King 3D beating it again.
That's well, let's talk about that, because what the hell happened last weekend? Lion King 3D came in. I was thinking it wasn't going to do well because it this year 3D has suffered because of the high ticket prices, and it's also a re-release of a re-release that everybody has on their shelf. Everybody's already seen 5,000 times. And then even the early, they were like saying, oh, it's going to make 10 to 15. It made like $25 million. What the hell happened?
Look, The Lion King is one of the greatest movies to ever come out within my lifetime. Okay. I'm going to go and watch that again. They spent 9 months converting it to 3D, and it's apparently looking fantastic. I haven't seen it yet. I plan to go and watch it this weekend. I can't wait to watch Mufasa again. And I keep calling him Mustafa, mistakenly, because there was this one guy at the law school whose name was Mustafa. And I keep making the mistake whenever I say his name.
I thought it was because Mustafa wasn't that the character from Austin Powers?
I think that was a character, but I think more of that guy from the law school for some reason. Because I spent a lot of time up there, and he was like the guard kind of guy who everyone knows.
Yeah.
But yeah, Mufasa and Simba and listening to Elton John songs all over again. I'm down for that scene, that in a theater. I'm always jealous whenever I go online and I go on Twitter and I see all of.
Did you almost say go on the Twitter?
I almost did. and I see like all of the people who are out in LA and Austin and New York and talking about all of these wonderful events where they get to see these movies back that came out back in the 80s or the 70s or the 90s being re-released for a week or one night, and they get to go and see it, and I'm always jealous of them. I don't get that opportunity very often, and Lion King is going to be one of my few opportunities where I get to go and relive an experience. Where
and Ghostbusters coming up too, so you'll get to see that in the.
I don't know if that'll be here, but I hope.
The other movies for the week, you had Contagion with 14.5 million, which is actually not bad. It held pretty well. Drive with 11 million, which isn't bad, considering as hard of a sell as Drive was and the fact it was rated R, I think is actually pretty good. The Help is still trucking along. And then Straw Dogs, and I don't know how she does it, both were pretty miserable showings. They came in 5 and 6. The one that's interesting to note, Bucky Larson.
Do we have to
Born
mention
to be
this
a star,
movie?
Came in 25th place. It was in 15th place last week, and it dropped 10 places. In its second week of release, Bucky Larson made more money than the first week of release of Creature, which I kind of liked for what it was. But yeah, Creature did not do well. Creature is nowhere to be seen on this.
Wow.
Anywho, that is what. So I'm thinking Moneyball's going to win the weekend. You're putting money on. You're putting your Moneyballs on. What are you putting your balls on for this weekend?
I guess my balls go to Taylor Lautner, like usual.
You're putting your balls on Taylor Lautner's abs, is what you're saying?
Well, I didn't specify his abs, but if you had to specify a spot, you know.
If he's interested, the chin, whatever. I'm cool with that.
You know.
He's a good-looking dude, and he's over 18, so you can say that.
You know, I can say that now, unlike all the women who have been shouting at him for the past 5 years.
Yeah. The one thing I remember when the last Twilight movie came out, he had filmed it before he was 18, and there were people who were, the Twi moms were like, oh, yeah, and he turned 18 before the movie came out. So it was this weird thing where he was not 18, but then he turned 18. And it was a little creepy for these 40-year-old women to be like, oh, yeah, baby. And there's a woman I know who I went to high school with. So she's 40 or so. And she's got a teenage son. And she was like, oh, got to go see Taylor Lautner. I'm like, he's as old as your child. That's creepy. And then later, the Ramona and Beezus movie came out with Selena Gomez. Mm-hmm. And she happened to turn 18 the day before it released. And so I remember putting on Twitter, I said, ah, so using Twilight logic, I can go see this movie and hoot and holler when Selena Gomez shows up.
But then again,
she wasn't.
The only problem you have in that logic is you'd be hooting and hollering at Selena Gomez.
Selena Gomez is a good-looking woman, because she is a woman, though. But still, it's kind of creepy. She's still just 18. I'm a lot older than you. So.
I don't know.
You don't
really
like Selena Gomez?
Her much, but she still looks like she's 12.
Depends on how they make her up. If you watch, my kids watch Wizards of Waverly Place, and she's when they do her hair right, she looks good, and then you can do her hair differently, and she looks like she's 12.
Yeah, so. You see, therein lies the problem. No matter, like, you really have to. If I have to ask you for ID, there's a problem.
Okay, you ask girls for ID. You're like, okay, before we go any further.
No,
can
but,
I see,
no,
can I see two forms
that,
of identification?
If that thought enters your mind at any point, you know, I should probably look at her ID. There's a problem.
But you think that? You're like out with a girl. You're like, hey, let me buy you a drink. Can I see some ID?
I have had that thought on occasion before, but not out at a bar or anything. You know, you're just talking to this woman, and it turns a little different. And then you're like questioning. You're like, how old is this girl?
I was at a strip club in West Virginia, so think of that.
You see, therein brings a different set of logic. It's like the movie logic. Like you get to be really uncomfortable seeing certain women look really young, but the moment they take off clothing and they're actually naked and you can see things, you'd go to, okay, this had to be legal. Because there are too many people in suits making sure that they don't get fired or sued.
This has to be legal because I just gave her a gynecological exam there on the stage for $5.
So this is okay. So,
but what do you do now, Andrew? They shave it all off, man. Now what are you going to do? You're so confused now.
I just trust that they don't want to be sued, so I'm all right.
No, but this dancer, she looked like she was like 14, tops. No, you knew she wasn't. Like you said, you knew she wasn't because, I mean, that would just be ridiculous.
Yeah,
I'm not saying I wouldn't put it past. I mean, people have been, you know, Tracy Lords was a porno star at 15, but I remember seeing her. I'm like, oh, this girl makes a lot of money. She has, because she looks so young, and you're like, well, that's her shtick, you know, baby doll kind of thing. So, anywho, I was of course good. I did not get a dance from her.
Oh, I have to say, I've never been in a strip club.
Really?
Really?
You
never.
You need to come to the States and visit me. I will show you a good time. Of course, I don't know. What are the strip clubs like in Jamaica or
as I
Trinidad
said, I
have and Tobago?
Been in one, but I'd imagine they're very, very dirty.
Let's put it this way: I've turned the wrong corner in Jamaica. It can get scary fast when you're away from the cruise ship. Let me tell you.
I've passed prostitutes on the street. I don't want to see what passes as a stripper.
Well, wait a minute. They're obviously, it's not like you're not like, well, if they're prostitutes, the strippers must be even skankier. Usually it's the other way around. I mean, you gotta have these standards here. Cause you'd think that if you're just stripping, you're making a little bit of money. And you've really hit rock bottom if you're, you know, knobbing in a car for $20 a pop. Not that I know that that's what it costs. I'm just guessing here. I'm just spitballing at this point.
So does your wife
throwing it around?
Does your wife listen to the podcast religiously?
Oh no, she does. She does. She knows. I talk smack all the time.
Okay.
And she just looks at me and laughs.
She's like, "Oh, cute Kevin. He thinks."
Well, you know what's funny? I turned 40 a week and a half ago.
Oh, happy birthday!
Thank you. And, you know, it's a big deal because guys turn 40. And so I put on Twitter and I said, well, I turned 40. Time to get my sports car and 19-year-old girlfriend. And she responds to me and she's like, I'll turn you in for two 20-year-olds. And I'm like, oh, so you want two Merrill bars to deal with, don't you? And that put an end to that really fast. Because the whole thing is a guy gets a 19-year-old girlfriend for no other reason but the sex and youth vitality. That's the only reason. It's all aesthetics. Women don't choose boyfriends necessarily like that.
No, they don't.
So, yeah, I mean, to sit there and be like, I want, you know, like, case in point, you say, you know, well, there's the Taylor Lautner exceptions, but, you know, there is that sort of school girl. you know, fantasy of the guy, like the youngest, the cutest, the, you know, the right before they anybody else spoils them. Whereas a woman's kind of like, yeah, I'll wait till they're like 30. Who wants to deal with a 20-year-old?
Let's let them get old enough that they know they need to go to the gym.
Yeah. Let's let them work for it. Well, I have a rule in strip clubs, is you go for the 7. That's probably the creepiest way I've ever said anything in my life.
That comes right out of How I Met Your Mother. That feels like a line right out of How I Met Your Mother.
That is my line. Go for the 7. Do you know why? Because, well, you don't want to go for the 4. You can, yeah, the 4 is fine, but the 4, you don't even have to go for the 4. The 4 will come after you. The 2s, my God, just got to beat them off with a stick. But the 7, they come, you know, and they know they're not the prettiest girl in the club, but the prettiest girl in the club, they're just terrible. They're like, I'm pretty, ha ha, smile, give me money.
Once again, I will claim I've never been in a strip club.
I'll claim that too, but everyone knows that's a fucking lie. Seriously, you need to come to America. Come up to Ohio. I'll show you some crazy ass strip clubs that are probably, hopefully, cleaner than the ones in Trinidad and Tobago.
Okay, I'll be there really quick. I'll stop off in Austin, then Toronto, and I'll stop back in Appleton, Wisconsin, meet some of my old friends, and then I'll swing by.
Just take the jet ski up the Gulf. You can go right up the Mississippi River, the Ohio River, the Scioto River, and boom, that's not very far from my house. You can be here in, what, about 68 hours?
You hear that, internet? We now know where he lives. Go and get him.
The Scioto River is a long river. Anyways, is there anything else you want to talk about? Anything you want to get off your chest that you've, you know, this is the open-ended segment.
Oh, there's one thing I read about this week, I think, that slightly perturbed me.
Okay. Well, thank you. Let's get some passion behind this. It slightly perturbed you.
There was news that came out recently that I think it's CBS bought the rights to make a Source Code TV show.
Yes, I heard that.
Why would you want to make that into a procedural? Why? Like, I enjoyed that film. I honestly enjoyed that film, except for the last, like, 2 minutes, which I would personally cut out. But, you know, I'm willing to live with. But okay. Why would you turn that movie into a procedural? I understand exactly how it would fit. I know. I can see the CSI music playing right now. But... Boom, boom. But why?
That's Law and Order, though, wasn't it? I'm sorry.
But why? Oh my goodness! Did you like Source Code?
I like Source Code a lot. I thought it was a great movie. But I would say this: I think that it could work if done properly. I mean, it's because it's all the conception of, can you take a person? Spoilers for Source Code, by the way, people. If you haven't seen Source Code, it's been out in the movie theaters. It's on DVD. I'm going to talk about what it's about. So if you have the ability to go into the past and solve and get clues from that, that can work. It's just as long as it's removed enough, as long as they don't like try and spin it off the show and they just take that concept and they apply it, I think it could work, but it could be an absolute disaster too.
Do you think that they will at all acknowledge the last 2 minutes of the movie where they put in that final twist?
I honestly think if they're smart, they'll just go from the concept.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
Yeah, because why would you want to tie it together there? Because then it's messy from the beginning. You know, I think they're just going to go with the concept of what they did. And I think it could work. It could suck, but it could work.
I think more it's going to suck.
Well, you know, hey, those are the odds. Those are the Vegas odds for TV shows. So, I mean, did you see Two Broke Girls? Jesus Christ, that's
I did movie. Watch that show this week, and that's, I'm like, horrible. Kat Dennings is pretty. I think I might watch another episode. Let's see how far this takes me.
Kat Dennings is hot and has breasts the size of my head. But this show's terrible, and it's a great name for a porno. But I don't know how many more episodes I'm going to watch of it.
As I said, let's see how far this takes me. I'm sure I'll watch like 2 more episodes and say, all right, I'm done.
I'm done. Out. Robinson, out. You're going to drop the mic and turn off the television. Yeah, I don't know. I think a source code television show could work, but you know, it's like anything.
It's just gonna become CSI with source code, which I don't want.
Yeah, well, see, those are coming back though. This whole because I think people, there was this blip, and I said this on the Idiot Boxers last time I was talking about this. There was a blip in time in the mid 2000s where people were like, "Yes, give me the long form stories." And they loved Lost. They loved 24. You had Battlestar Galactica was another one that you kind of had to see every single episode to know what was going on. And I think that was just too much work for people, which is why they're going for more. Even when it is continuous, it's not a ton of things happen from week to week. It's more situational. It's not that they're not making these shows. It's these shows aren't becoming hits. You know, because I think just the American public is like, no, just give me the murder of the week. Give me the disease of the week.
Anyways, I don't think there's anything else that I saw.
Nothing else slightly perturbed you this week?
No, I mean, I've been watching lots of Soderbergh films because I love Soderbergh. And
yes.
That's pretty much it. If anyone's never seen it, you guys need to go and watch Kafka.
Okay. I've not seen that. I better go watch it. Right after I watch that cricket documentary.
Yeah.
So let's go ahead and move on and do the Fat Guy 5, which, God forbid, is in honor of Dolphin Tale.
Oh, man. We could have done something for Moneyball, I'm sure.
We could have done the best movies about monkeys and balls.
I'm sure I could have picked 5 movies in that category.
I'm sure I could find 5 movies with monkeys and balls in. I'm pretty sure that they exist. But we decided to go with 5 cool movie prosthetics. Now, you know what? I'm going to take this first one on the list that you see. That's going to be the last one. So, hint, hint. This is the money shot. But the first one on the list is The Fugitive. Being the prosthetic, of course, is the one-armed man who kills Richard Kimball's wife.
Yeah, because he has that fake arm, and you go for a second. Wait, he has 2 arms. No, wait, he only has 1.
Yeah, and the whole thing is he tracks him down through the fake arm. So, based on the original TV show, but yeah, definitely that was a great prosthetic. The next one would be Star Trek, and it's pretty much every goddamn alien that's ever walked onto a set of a Star Trek television show or movie.
You know what I was just thinking about earlier today? I was listening to another podcast. I don't want to shamelessly plug other podcasts on your show.
Yes, you would not want to do that.
They
do that every week.
They were talking to they were doing an event for the old 60s Batman TV show.
Yes.
And the question came up in my mind, which is better or worse, depending on how you view this, Adam West or Will Shatner?
As what? As Batman versus Captain Kirk?
No, just generally in how they have taken their campy roles and created it into their own celebrity and how they play off themselves continuously.
Oh, Shatner, obviously by a mile, but Adam West has cheesed it up too. I mean, he's doing the mayor on Family Guy and all that kind of silliness. But I mean, no one can hit the level of Shatner was doing this. This is the thing. Adam West started getting into his own kitsch when everybody was realizing that it was kitschy for him to do it. Shatner's been doing this since the early 80s. It's just no one picked up on it until the 90s that they realized, oh, he's making fun of himself. Shatner was doing this long before. I mean, have you seen his song, his recordings, his music videos? He was not taking that shit seriously back then, and everybody else was, and that's why it was so ridiculous. But you look back at it now, you're like, it's like watching Andy Kaufman wrestle women. You look at it now, and you're like, oh, of course it's a joke. But at the time, there are people that got really pissed off at that. What do you think? Do you agree?
You see, the thing is that I've never been much of a Trekkie, and I actually haven't really watched the original series, and I don't know much of Shatner, like, during the series and that period after the series up until the 90s or so or whatever.
Yeah.
So I only know now Shatner as to how he's playing himself. And the
well,
same,
he didn't play himself. He didn't play himself when he was full of himself during the original series.
No, but I mean as to what he's become, as in making fun of himself and all that stuff. Same thing with Adam West. I know Adam West as he is now, who is happy to poke fun at himself and the silliness yeah. of the Batman show. So I only think of it from that perspective. But yeah, you definitely have it down, I guess, that Shatner wins the fight of making fun of yourself and being crazily weird.
Well, and I think he also has parlayed that into other things. You know, he was in what was the show, Boston Legal, that he was on. He's taken that goofy persona and he's been able to spin it into characters and do other shows and movies. Have you ever seen Free Enterprise?
No, I didn't.
That's a fantastic movie. You need to see that. 'Cause you know what it's about?
No.
It's about this guy who idolizes William Shatner and then runs into William Shatner, and Shatner's trying to put on a play, a one-man show of Julius Caesar where he plays all the roles. And it's Shatner doing Shatner to the nth degree. It's a fantastic movie. You should check it out. Even if you're not a Star Trek fan, it's a great movie. So.
Oh, I'm looking at the IMDb page now, and I definitely have to try and find this movie.
Let's do the next great movie prosthetic, and that would be Selma Blair in A Dirty Shame. Did you ever see that movie?
I don't know this movie.
She plays a porno star named Ursula Utters. You can figure out where the prosthetics were for that.
Oh, so we're playing this on like prosthetics that we're not necessarily admitted to being prosthetics in the movie. In the reality of the movie.
Well, you've never seen Selma Blair. You know her. You know she did not have money balls. She's a relatively flat-chested lady. And, yeah, she had these giant prosthetics that were breasts. I don't know. Let's see. How big were these things? If I could just
I'm looking at the poster now, and I guess I can figure it out, even if this cartoon is slightly exaggerated.
It's accurate. If you were to take Vern Troyer and duplicate him and then put him in two burlap sacks and strap him to her chest, that's approximately the size of her chest in this movie.
Wow.
It was a John Waters film. I think it was a tribute to Chesty Morgan, because John Waters was a big fan of Chesty Morgan.
Okay.
Yeah, with Lethal Weapons. You got the next one. Dude, you got the next one. This is good.
You brought up the topic, and you gave me a couple of minutes, and the only thing I could think of was The Wrestler. And if you guys don't know where I'm coming from, in The Wrestler, there's a scene, minor spoilers, where there is a there's a wrestling match, a really bare bones, like, throw anything you can find in the ring wrestling match, you know, they staple each other in the face and stuff, and at one point, they go out of the ring, and he puts a trash can over his opponent, and he's going to hit this trash can with a chair or something, to which he is stopped by the audience, and a guy in a wheelchair pulls off his prosthetic leg and says, "Use this." And that is what I nominate for greatest prosthetic in a movie, because that is like one of the most hilarious moments ever in that film.
Who has not wanted to beat somebody with a fake leg at some point in their life?
They need to sign up for wrestling, I guess.
Yeah, well, I think you can call the National Organization for Women, send them the copy of this audio, and they will beat me with a prosthetic leg if they had one. So,
probably would, Kevin.
Let's do the last one, and this one, of course, drum roll, please. This is my favorite prosthetic ever in a movie. It is Boogie Nights, Dirk Diggler's, let's just say, claim to fame in the very last shot of the movie. I'm a star. I'm a star. I'm a big, bright, shining star. It was an impressive prosthetic, and I don't know how I would deal with something like that. It would just get in the way, except for the obvious times where it would be in the way for good. I say that good, I'm going to use this for good. Use my powers for good.
I'm just happy that you picked a good movie to top out the list.
Boogie Nights is one of my favorite movies of all time.
It is a fantastic film. Paul Thomas Anderson is best when he does those kind of movies.
A couple dishonorable mentions. Some certain very ugly fake noses. Nicole Kidman in The Hours and Jack Nicholson for Hoffa, which were ridiculous prosthetics that were, I guess, necessary, sort of. And then also Leslie Mann for The Change-Up. Those were not her tits. Shame on you, Leslie Mann.
Wow, I did not see The Change-Up. Your
I liked The Change-Up, actually. I thought it was kind of funny, but nobody else did, apparently.
Ryan Reynolds' stock is dipping.
Yeah. Well, you know what? His stock was never up. I saw this thing. This is an interesting thing about Ryan Reynolds. I saw Nikki Fink, who's a fucking moron anyways, and she put on her blog, Deadline Hollywood, and she's like, oh, he's supposed to be this A-list star. And I'm like, well, I guess, but he's never been in anything. Wolverine did very well, and he was in Wolverine, but it wasn't his movie. And he's never opened a big movie. He's always been sort of this B-list actor who just looks very pretty, you know. So
see,
that's
the thing with Ryan Reynolds is his bread and butter is the genre of the romantic comedy and the silly dirty comedy just because of Van Wilder. He is that kind of guy. He's tried to do the action thing. He was in Smoking Aces, which was horrible. I don't know how that opened.
I liked Smoking Aces.
He was in Green Lantern this summer. I don't remember how much money that made, but that movie was awful.
Well, Green Lantern made $116 million domestically, and worldwide it topped out at just under $220 million.
Yeah, branding can do a lot for you. He was in, what was that other movie?
To give you an idea, his highest grossing movie that he even appeared in,
The Proposal, I'm sure,
was the X-Men and Wolverines, and then The Proposal. The Proposal did extremely well, but that and those in Green Lantern are the only ones that made over $100 million.
But
the only two other than that that made over $50 million were Blade Trinity and Amityville Horror. He's not a name actor. He does not open movies big. Sandra Bullock was the one who opened up The Proposal. He didn't.
But you see, here lies the thing. The thing that's really tricked people into this thing of Ryan Reynolds being a star was last year's indie hit Buried, in which, yes, it didn't make a lot of money, but it showed...
It made $1 million.
It showed potential that Ryan Reynolds can carry a movie, can make a movie good just by him alone being in it. And that's
I don't know.
And that's why they were hoping that if you put this much charisma and this much talent into a big budget movie that should make $300 million, it should work out, shouldn't it?
Yeah, but see, yeah, but I still go back to the thing. He's not made. I mean, aside from Proposal and X-Men Origins, everything else has been midland at best. Even his romantic comedies, definitely, maybe made $32 million. Just Friends made $32 million. You know, these are not big movies. So, I just think it's this perceived, because he's a good looking guy and people knew his name partly because he was banging Scarlett Johansson.
And
now we've all seen those pictures. Well, we've seen those pictures. I'm sure she sucks in bed. I will put down money. I challenge her to prove me wrong that she does not suck in bed. Do you know why? Because she's young, she's gorgeous, and she's stuck on herself, which means she's going to lie there like a dead fish. Have you ever seen the Pamela Anderson sex tape?
Wow.
Have you ever seen a sex tape?
I have seen a few, but... Wow.
I'm an expert on this.
I'm one to make fun, mock, put down people, but I've never gone so far as to predict a woman would suck in bed, you know?
I could pretty much guess that Scarlett Johansson's probably awful in bed. Well, say, because the thing is, it goes to the Pamela Anderson sex tape. I was watching that sex tape for purposes. This is my profession, people. I need to do these sort of things. I take it upon myself to accomplish this.
Was there a DVD release for it that you had to review? What was there?
May have actually taken place before I started moving reviews, but just let's set that aside for right now. But if you watch the tape, it's the worst. It's the most boring looking sex ever, And it's Pamela, and you'd be like, oh, Pamela Anderson will be awesome. And like, yeah, exactly, because she's gorgeous and she's hot. Just the fact that you can put your dick inside her is the only thing that makes it a little notch on the belt. She's not probably not that good.
So the only question that comes to mind to me right now of everything you just said is, yes. Do you get porn films to review in your DVD bin?
No. I should, though. I don't know. One, my right arm would probably be way stronger than my left arm. If that ever happened, I'd have to start lifting weights on my left side just to balance things out. If I was given,
I always want to know what scale people use to grade porn movies on. Like, what
if you ever read Hustler magazine, they always use like they had the stage of erection on the penis. They'd be completely flaccid as like zero.
No. Like, that's just a representation from F to A. Same thing. Yeah. I'm just saying. What would make you say a porn movie is an A?
Well, if it's hot. You know what's funny? I tell you, this is a true story. I always tell people, I went through several career choices over the course of my life where I'm just like, I don't know what I want to do. I kind of didn't know what I wanted to do. And I'm like, you don't just get a job that makes money. And yeah, money's nice, but you want to do something that you love because then it's fulfilling. And I said, you got to pick something, whatever you like doing. Whatever it is you like. If you love baseball, find something in baseball. If you love gardening, find something in gardening. If you love movies, find something in movies, either making them or reviewing them or whatever. And I saw this thing on Real Sex once on HBO, and they were talking about, and they showed this guy, and it was some, and it was a European magazine that was doing, it was an adult magazine, it was a porno magazine, and they took pictorials. If it's back when they made magazines, it's all online now, but it was this, they had pictorials and they sent all the pictorials to this guy, and it was his job to decide whether they were, shall we say, spankable,
good enough.
And how he would do it is he would just basically see if he could masturbate to them, and if he could come to climax, they went on. And he would do this 6 or 8 times a day, which, first of all, I'm like, God bless you, sir, because that is amazing.
I'm sorry for his wife.
I salute you. But I'll tell you, I said, here's a guy who figured out something he loved and made a career out of it. So if he can do that, anybody can figure something out. That's my inspirational. I take that message to grade schools.
Do you tell them a different career path, or do they still put in the porn story?
I have spent a couple nights in jail over this. No, I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. But no, this is the true thing.
No,
I saw.
I believe
HBO.
You. Yeah, that totally sounds like something real. Like,
so, but I'm not saying that's what I do. Dude, I'm 40. Maybe when I was 20, I could have handled something like that. But I'd be just napping the entire time. It'd be like, that would be my, it's a 5, how long of a nap I took after. Boofy. Okay.
Anything else you want to talk about, man?
Have I said enough? We should probably go to a break.
We should go to break. Hi, and welcome back to Fat Guys at the Movies.
Yay!
Yeah, we're somehow we didn't go anywhere.
Well, you know, we didn't. But if you're listening to us on the radio, you probably don't want to go back to the internet and listen to the, or just listen to the beginning so you can hear us talk a little more about Moneyball, and then turn it off because you will be very, not very happy with what
some of your radio listeners might be interested in what we had to say during that segment.
I'm a very different person on the radio than I am on the internet. That's why we do an internet-only segment. So you have been warned. But now let's move on. What do we have coming up here next, Andrew?
It's apparently a world-famous DVD roundup.
That's right. DVD roundup. Here we go. Yeehaw! I'm going to mention the Star Wars trilogy simply because it's one of those that broke in the middle. It broke and landed on a Friday, so it was last week. But I usually do it in the next cycle. So Star Wars is on Blu-ray. You know, if you have a Han Shot First t-shirt, you probably aren't going to want to get this. But I love Star Wars, and changes or no, I still enjoy the films, and it's a movie series that's meant to be seen in high definition.
I want to get it, but the changes bother me. And the worst part about it is I don't know how long it's going to be for me to wait to get the Blu-ray set that is unchanged, if ever.
Here's my prediction. You want to know what my prediction on that
Never.
Is? No. I think when he gets, because he's releasing all three movies, or all six movies in 3D, when that 3D Blu-ray comes out, it'll have everything. I think that'll have everything. I think it'll have a Blu-ray of the
originals. The theatricals.
They may not do much remastering to it, but you'll get the movies on in high def. A couple other ones to mention. You've got Dumbo on Blu-ray. That it's one of the best Disney movies ever on Blu-ray. So of course it's beautiful. It's 4:3, but you know it has it's still in high definition. You've got Castle, the complete third season. Modern Family, the complete second season. There's also Spooky Buddies, which is another one of those Air Buddies movies. It's about the dogs, and they go trick-or-treating. It's a little early for Halloween, but they're dropping the DVDs.
They still make those movies?
Oh, yeah. They've made like 5,000 of them, I think.
Wow. I remember the first one when it came out.
And Air Bud, then Air Bud Golden Receiver, then Air Bud World Pup, and they went through all these. Now they got the puppies, and now the Air Buddies do stuff. And then there's also Bridesmaids. I was not a fan of Bridesmaids, but I guess I have to mention it since it's kind of like the biggest movie of the summer. You had to have liked Bridesmaids.
I wasn't a huge fan of the movie when I saw it in the theater, but I rewatched it the other night, and I have to say it works. It's really a funny movie. It's not my favorite comedy of the year, but if you like
Horrible
it,
Bosses
right
was
ahead.
The best comedy of the year, by the way.
You
must agree.
I've seen Horrible Bosses, and I thought that movie was hilarious, but I haven't really thought about it to say which is my favorite. For some reason, the comedy that I'm thinking of, and I doubt you like this movie that much, is Rubber, for some reason.
Oh, I haven't seen Rubber. I kind of want to see it.
It's definitely, for some reason, I just imagine it's not your grade of movie, because you always, for some reason...
It's completely off-kilter. It's bizarre, isn't it?
Yeah, it's bizarre. But it's... for some reason, you just never seem the indie type.
I like it, some indie movies, not all of them. What's funny with Bridesmaids is I showed it to my wife, and my wife... I didn't say anything to her about it, because she doesn't read my reviews. So I put it in because I had to do a drinking game for FSR, and... I'm watching it, and about 30 minutes in, my wife looks at me, she goes, "This is awful." And I'm like, for me, it's like every now and then we kind of completely sync on something that we don't like, but everybody else does. 500 Days of Summer, because we're both the murder of love. We hated that. There was also...
I feel like that saying is going to go on forever.
We also didn't like Firefly, the series. Neither of us did. So yeah, it's our own Firefly.
When I first saw Bridesmaids, the woman who I went to the movie with enjoyed it thoroughly.
Awesome.
While I was sitting there going,
did she break wind on the way home and be like, "That happens, babe"?
Sadly, no, I didn't. I probably should have.
Well, no, she did. She, not you.
Oh no,
you're allowed
didn't.
To. You're a man.
No, she didn't.
This was a women's lib movie. It showed that women have bodily functions just as much as men do.
Yeah. And any man who doesn't know that is an idiot.
Well, yeah, duh.
Trust me, if you're married. There are DVDs from last week you haven't mentioned, sir. Important,
I mentioned Meek's Cutoff last
important
week.
Important DVDs, and that is Meek's Cutoff and Hesher. Mm-hmm. Fantastic movies. Two of the best movies of the year so far. Wow. If you're a Western person, you haven't seen The West Like This, go and see Meek's Cutoff. And if you're an indie, emotional, amazing performance, slightly bending on the humor, Hesher is a movie for you, because I don't think I've seen a movie this year which has directly played an emotion and actually made me feel it as hard as Hesher did.
Oh, you're such a girl. I'm just kidding.
I'm okay with that.
That's okay. The stinker of the week is Body of the Proof, the complete first season. I'm not a big Dana Delaney fan. Hopefully it gets better in the second season, but the first season was kind of off.
Oh,
review wrap-up.
Oh. One movie I want to mention in your stinkers.
Real quick.
Breakfast at Tiffany's. It came out on Blu-ray. I hate that movie.
Ah, yes, because it's got the most I just love the fact it has the most politically incorrect opening ever of a movie. Anyways, the review wrap-up. Abduction and Killer Elite get a preemptive suck. Dolphin Tale gets a sort of sucks, or kind of sucks for me, and Moneyball gets a kind of rock. Next week, 50-50, Courageous. Dreamhouse, what's your number? Thank you, Andrew Robinson from GManReviews.com. Say goodbye to the audience, and you got the last 5 seconds.
Read the G-Man reviews. That's all. Thanks.
Woohoo!